Not long ago, the Olympic Games and also the Special Olympics came to an end. Folks, the Olympic Games had their origin in a town in Greece by the name of Olympia. In fact, even to this very day, just before the Olympic Games start and they're going to light the fire, they light that torch in the city of Olympia. However, the more modern Olympic Games did not have their origin until 1894. A man by the name of Baron Pierre de Corbentin is the one who instituted those games. There is an International Olympic Committee that oversees all of the games that are played. This year's games were played in Sochi, Russia, S-O-C-H-I. Folks, there were 98 games that were involved in the Olympics this year. There were just about 2,850 athletes who were competing in those games. And my friends, the competition was fierce, and the competition lasted for almost 17 full days from beginning to end. What's interesting was that Paul lived in a time when the ancient Olympic Games were transpiring. And as you read through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul picks up on that Olympic Game concept and makes application of it to our lives as Christians. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. 1 Corinthians 9. 24. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 14. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. All of those passages are talking about the Olympic Games, but making application of them in our lives. What I'm about to do is begin a series of lessons comparing the Olympic Games to the Christian life. And I've entitled this particular series, Be an Olympian. Point number one. Let's talk for a moment about participation. Folks, this might be one of the areas where there is some contrast between the Olympic Games and Christianity. And the contrast is this. Not everyone can be an Olympic athlete, can they? I don't care how hard I might try. I could have never competed in the Olympics. Why? I didn't have the ability, folks. I couldn't do downhill skiing. I don't even think I could do curling, pushing that little weight down there and trying to get in a little circle. Doesn't take much athletic ability, it doesn't seem. But folks, I don't even think I could do that. Some of us just don't have the capability, the abilities, to be involved in the Olympic Games. In fact, I bet nobody in here has ever been an Olympian. Nobody. Secondly, some of us are disqualified because of age, aren't we? I'd hate to think of trying to get into the Olympics at my age. Could you imagine Ed? Oh, Ed, downhill skier. Unbelievable, folks, because of age, we're disqualified, aren't we? But what's interesting is this, as far as the Christian race is concerned, as far as the Christian Olympics are concerned, there is not one individual, not one who cannot participate. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul asked these questions in Romans chapter 3, verse 29. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yea, of the Gentiles also. Folks, he is the God of Jews and Gentiles. At one time, those were the only two divisions between mankind as far as the Jews were concerned. And Paul says that God is the God of both individuals. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, the world can be saved. All men can be saved. There is not one individual who needs to be excluded from the Olympic Games. But that brings us to our point of comparison under participation. Our participation involves freedom of choice, doesn't it? I'm certain somebody might say, now Vic, this might be also a point of contrast because sometimes it is parents who force their children to become Olympians, and that's happened in times past. But it's the exception, not the rule. Some might say, well, there are some nations who watch little children when they're young and they direct them and almost make them participate in Olympic Games. And that has happened in times past. But again, that's the exception and not the rule. Folks, for the most part, an individual makes a conscious decision to be involved in those Olympic Games. An individual has freedom of choice. He is not forced. He is not coerced. He is not paid. He is not enticed in any manner other than his desire to win and obtain those medals. And my friends, is it not also the case that you and I have freedom of choice when it comes to our participation in Christianity? God is not going to force you to become a Christian. God isn't going to come along and try to somehow coerce you and make you do something that you do not choose to do. This doctrine known as the doctrine of predestination or the doctrine of election, that is, as it is taught by the Presbyterian Church and others, those are false doctrines. Individuals have not been predestined to either heaven or hell. God does not make that choice for us. We choose to participate. God calls and we are free to answer the call, aren't we? Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Matthew 11 verse 28. Notice what he says, come unto me all ye that labor. Nobody's excluded. Anyone who is laboring, anybody who's under a heavy burden can come to Jesus if they so desire. The Spirit and the bride say, come, John wrote in the Revelation 22, verse 17. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Notice that word again, whosoever will. It is man's choice to participate. Folks, you don't have to involve yourself in Christianity if you don't want to. But if you desire to, if you long to, you can say, yes, I'm going to answer the call of the Almighty God. But here's something that we need to consider. Before you make that choice, you better think about the consequences, hadn't you? And you better think about the consequences of refusing the call and not participating. And you better think about the consequences of accepting the call and participating. Here's some things that I would encourage you not to do as you make this decision. Folks, do not rely on emotion. There are so many individuals, as you are teaching them the gospel of Christ, and it gets down to decision time, that those individuals are full of all kinds of emotions, many of them negative, and they refuse to obey Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's sadness. Sometimes it's anger. Folks, there's all kinds of emotions that individuals are driven by. Do not let your emotions drive that decision. Number two, do not let your sinful, carnal passions and desire control your decision. My friends, we're only here for a brief time, are we not? And one of these days we're going to pass from this world, and if you live a life constantly fulfilling your desires, your passions, your carnal nature, guess what? You'll come to the end of that and you will regret every bit of it. Thirdly, do not make your decision based on ignorance. It's amazing to me today that we have a war against Christianity in our nation, don't we? Every time you turn around, there's limitations put on Christianity. And what's amazing to me is this. Those individuals who are out there as proponents of evil have never seriously considered Christianity. They've never really studied it. They don't even really know what it means, and they've never looked at the evidence that exists. And yet they reject it, and they do so in ignorance, do they not? Folks, something else you have to be aware of is do not reject the call of God because you accept some false doctrine. The Bible teaches that there are many false teachers that have gone out into the world, and that many will follow their pernicious ways. Folks, don't base your decision on false doctrine. No, you base your decision on truth. It and it alone will make you free. But when it all comes down to it, every one of us in this audience has the freedom to choose whether we're going to participate or not participate. It's that simple. Point number two. The Olympic Games have a rule book. In fact, it is referred to as the Olympic Charter. And folks, it guides all the games from beginning to end. It sets forth all the rules that individuals are to follow. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a government official, whether you are a coach, whether you are a judge, or whether you are an athlete, guess what? It is your responsibility to abide by the rules. Guess what? Christianity has an Olympic charter, doesn't it? And it's not a man-made charter. It is a God-given charter known as the Word of the Living God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Folks, we've got a charter, do we not? And that charter is found in the Word of the Living God. It guides us through the darkness, Psalm 119:105. It provides all that we need to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It affirms those things that are right, and it denies those things that are wrong, Titus 2, 11 and 12. Just as that Olympic charter must be obeyed, so also must the Word of God be obeyed. And it's to be obeyed by all individuals upon the face of the earth. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, black or white. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old, male or female. Folks, it doesn't matter. All must follow the charter. Moses on one occasion spoke to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 27:10. And he says this, "Therefore thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and keep his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day." Folks, when the old law was in effect, that law was the governing law. And Israel was commanded to be obedient unto it. The Bible says in Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city." Folks, we must obey the rule book. We must do exactly what God, the originator of these Olympic Games, has instituted. No moving to the left, no moving to the right, but a complete obedience to His truth. Point number three. Seriousness. Those individuals who compete in the Olympic Games are serious, folks. You believe that? You just go and talk to one and see how serious he is. And he knows this is nothing to play with. Why is it so serious to an Olympian? One reason it's so serious is because he knows this may be my only shot at a medal. Can you imagine being the last skier on a downhill slalom? And you are one of the best in the world, or you wouldn't be there. All the other times have been reported. And now it is your time to go down that hill as fast as you possibly can. In less than a minute and a half, everything will be over. Will I win? Will I not win? Folks, it is serious business at that point, isn't it? You just watch one of those guys right before they're about to perform, and you'll see seriousness written all over their face. Secondly, it's serious because they know the competition is serious, don't they? What if you were the first to go down that downhill slalom? This is serious. I've got 15 more skiers who are behind me, and guess what they want to do? They want to beat my time. And I know they are dead serious, folks. If I'm not, and they are, it can make the difference between winning and losing, can it? Now think about this. They are serious because they are there representing their nation, aren't they? Their nation, whoever it is, some 98 competed in these last Olympics, has said, these are the very best we have in this sport. Can you imagine that? Sometimes an individual is the only person from that country in that sport. This is the best that we have to offer. And folks, when you perform, don't you want to show the world your country's best? It's serious business, guys. I wish that I could get my brothers and sisters and the lost of this world to understand how serious Christianity is. In fact, year before last, or this past year, we had a youth day, and that's what its title was, Serious Business. Folks, this is not something that we play around with. This is serious. There's another word that the Bible uses, not serious, and the word is this, sober. Go home today and read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and you'll see the Apostle Paul addressing four groups of individuals in the church. The aged men, the aged women, the young men, the young women. And there is one characteristic that runs common through all four groups, and it's be sober. The simple definition of that word is this: not drunk with wine. Don't have your mind messed up, folks. Don't have your thinking all messed up. When you think about your Christianity, when you practice your Christianity, you make dead certain that you are serious about it. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. This is not play. This is serious business as far as God is concerned, folks. Picture yourself as an Olympian about to perform. And that same seriousness, in fact, it ought to be even more serious, ought to be how we consider our Christianity. And if you're serious, guess what? It will show, won't it? Folks, if you're truly serious as a Christian, you will grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. If you're really serious about your Christianity, you will be at the worship services and will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10, verse 25. I won't have to beg you to be here. Christianity is serious. Worship of God is serious. If your Christianity is serious, folks, you will be involved in good works. You'll let your light shine so that the world may see those good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. If your Christianity is serious, you cannot hold your mouth. You must speak to others about it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. You see, folks, if we're really serious about Christianity, we understand we're not going to play with it. We're not going to dabble in it. We're not going to do a little here, do a little there. Oh no, it's going to consume us. We're going to be addicted to the ministry, and we're going to be constantly involved in the Lord's work. It's serious, folks. And I wish I could get that across to every man, woman, and child, and especially those who are already in the body of Christ. It's serious. Point number four, discipline. Discipline. Are Olympians disciplined people? Most what we're talking about is this: self-control, self-mastery. Are they disciplined? Probably some of the most disciplined people in all the world, aren't they? It's unbelievable. And we're not talking about training for a short period of time. You know, some of our pro athletes, take for instance the football players right now, they're kind of on off season, aren't they? It won't be long before summer camp will start and they'll start getting serious again. And right now, guess what? They're just out there kind of getting fat and lazy for a while, taking trips, eating things, doing all kinds of stuff, just having fun. Not for an Olympian, folks. It's every 4 years, is it not? In fact, you cannot even compete until you're 14. So if you make a decision early to compete, guess what? You've got to discipline yourself for years and years and years and years on end. Strict sleep schedule, strict training schedule, strict diets. Things you can participate in, things you cannot participate in. And every day you get up and you have one goal that you're focused on. One goal. And that's to win the gold, folks. That's it. Every day of your life is disciplined to do this particular sport. Paul picked up on that. And he wrote these words: "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Striving for the mastery, folks. That's striving to win the crown at the Olympic Games. Striving to be the best. Striving for the mastery. Striving to be the master of your sport. It was huge among the Greeks. Did you know that? They wanted to be the most powerful man, the most beautiful woman, the fastest runner in all the world, the most handsome of men. Folks, that was their desire. And if they truly desired it, they were temperate in all things. Now watch this. Now they do it for a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible. Can you imagine getting a little wreath placed on your head when you won the Olympic Games in times past? We're talking about a fresh, green little wreath. And you just jump up and down, "Woo, hallelujah, got my wreath." And you go home and you set that on your dresser, and guess what? A month from now, it ain't green. That's bad English, but it isn't green anymore. It's wilted and fading and turning brown. Oh yes, you still look at it with great pride, but folks, it doesn't last, does it? And yet that's exactly what those individuals were competing for. Not us. We're competing for an incorruptible crown. Peter said, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. If they were temperate in all things, how much more should we be who are striving for the incorruptible? The Apostle Paul goes on to say, "For I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, as I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9:27. Folks, Paul understood the serious nature of this discipline. Paul says, "I always have to keep my body in subjection. It's always in my mind. I always have to discipline myself, because you see, it's possible that I can preach the gospel and still be cast out like garbage." Days in Jerusalem was cast out into Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom, the place of eternal burning of garbage, just outside the city gates of Jerusalem. Paul said, "That can happen to me. I can be cast out to be eternally burned. Worthless. Why? Because I did not discipline myself." Boy, there's so many areas of Christianity that involve discipline, aren't there? Folks, it takes discipline to study the Bible. It takes discipline to have a good prayer life. It takes discipline to make up your mind that you're going to be here at these worship services every time the doors open. That's discipline, folks. It takes discipline to rid my life of sin and iniquity. It takes discipline to mold myself and my character into what God desires of me. Someone who's not soon angry. Someone who is patient. Someone who is kind. Someone who is compassionate. Someone who is hospitable. Someone who is tender, someone who is gentle, someone who is willing to forgive, someone who can truly love others. It takes discipline to do that, folks. It takes discipline to study the gospel with other individuals, doesn't it? I have to learn a few things. I have to discipline my time. It takes discipline to be an individual who is a good visitor. Especially disciplining your time, because it takes that, doesn't it? Have you ever seen an Olympic athlete who is well disciplined? Man, what a thrill, isn't it? You can see it in his eyes. The very minute he opens his mouth, you can hear it in his speech, can't you? You look at his body, and his body is perfectly sculpted to do what it needs to do. You watch him as he performs, and every move is made to the letter, is it not? Everything is done to perfection, and you are just wowed by that kind of an individual. Basketball tournament's going on right now, is it not? Some of you watch that stuff. I like to watch the last 5 minutes, because that's the good part, isn't it? Almost tied, battling back and forth, and to watch some of those guys execute the plays that they can execute, folks, it blows your mind. And it's not that it just happens. It's not that they're just born with that kind of talent. Folks, they've practiced and they've disciplined themselves to be able to do those kind of things. And what a blessing it is to see a Christian who is truly disciplined in his Christian life. You'll see it in his eyes. You'll hear it in his voice. You'll see it in his behavior. Every day of his life. Discipline, folks. So desperately needed by the child of God. A bunch of comparisons, aren't they? I think I've got 200 more, so it's going to be a long series. No, not quite that many, but I do have several. And we'll continue it next week. Christianity and the Olympic Games are quite similar, aren't they? Just unbelievable. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Every one of us as Christians need to memorize that passage. Paul pictures himself as a runner, folks. You've seen athletic sprinters, have you not? They get almost to that tape that's stretched across the finish line, and what do? They reach forth, do they not? They stretch themselves just as hard as they can stretch, and they press themselves. Why? Because they know hundredths of a second matter, and I'm going to do all I can to finish and win the race. That's the picture Paul gives us in Philippians 3. He's stretched out, doing all he can do to reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is that your attitude? You're doing all you can do? Maybe not. Maybe you need to repent and change some things. Discipline your life. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's a lack of commitment, a lack of seriousness, and you need to repent of those things, folks. We want you to do that today. If we confess our sins, He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of those things, according to 1 John 1, verse 9. Maybe you haven't even begun to participate in the Christian athletics. Remember that participation is your call. I can't force you. I can beg with you. I can plead with you. I can want it for you all I want. But you have to answer the call. The Lord, the Spirit, the bride, they all say come. And the steps are easy, aren't they? Hear the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Folks, at that point, you leave the life of serving Satan. And you enter the body of Christ, forgiven of all transgressions. Enthrone Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And serve Him forever and ever. Do you need to do that? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?